It's Current State on WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Agriculture is Michigan's second largest industry. With the exception of California, no other state produces such a diverse variety of fruits and vegetables. Michigan also has a large livestock industry. Over the years, the state has seen an expansion of so-called CAFOs, C-A-F-Os. Those are concentrated animal feeding operations. And in exchange for their high food product output, CAFOs also produce a lot of waste. Now tonight, a panel discussion at Michigan State University will study the effect of CAFOs and the future of sustainable agriculture. I'm joined now by panelist and farmer Daniel Imhoff. He's the author of the book Food Fight. Hi, Dan.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure, our pleasure. Also with me, Maynard Beery, who runs Beery Farms of Michigan in Mason, Michigan. He's also a member of the Less Equals More Coalition, which is sponsoring tonight's forum. Hi, Maynard.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm under the impression both of you feel that there is a disconnect in our food system. Daniel Imhoff, can you explain what you mean?
Yeah, I think... A lot of people may be under the impression that the price that we pay for our foods at the checkout counter include all of the real costs that go into that good. And I think our panel tonight will try to untangle many of the hidden costs of industrial agriculture that are really becoming big problems in the environment, in communities where huge concentrations of animals are raised, and with our public health in general.
This is an environmental cost in particular?
I would say it's an environmental and a public health cost, and also it's increasingly expensive for taxpayers because so much of our tax dollars go to support this type of agriculture.
Maynard Beery, give me your take on CAFOs then.
I guess I would agree with Dan. I think we should add social costs. I think the CAFO, the production agriculture, has not been positive for our small communities in terms of people. And certainly the CAFOs have some real environmental issues, as does production agriculture, continuous row crop, farming up and down the hills, mud running to the rivers. These are very negative things that are results. And I don't believe really paid for at the cash register at the grocery store.
Daniel, Maynard, do we know how many CAFOs there are in Michigan? Daniel?
I don't. I'm from California, so I'm not sure. I defer to Maynard and my panelists here at Michigan for that.
Okay. Maynard, any idea? Are they common?
Yes, they're common. In terms of numbers,
dozens, hundreds?
We're more in the thousands.
Thousands.
Yeah, when we start looking at feedlots, beef feedlots, hog facilities, chickens, dairy is certainly a large one here in Michigan.
Dan Imhoff, is the primary justification of these larger operations cost cutting? Then do they end up meaning lower prices for consumers?
You know, it all depends on how you calculate those costs, because there are health costs, there are tax dollars, et cetera. For the operators of a CAFO, and it's important to note that a CAFO is really it's a definition from the Environmental Protection Agency. It deals with numbers of animals on a specific site and how much waste is coming out of that site, because they are pollution sources. So, you know, the CAFOs are really trying to spread their costs over huge numbers of animals whose lives are really relegated to almost machine, factory-like existences. And we're talking 2,000 hogs, 2,500 hogs in one barn, 5,000. In California, it's very common for a dairy to have 5,000 cows in a single area. And the cows never really are out on grass or pasture. They're just really milk-making machines. And so, you know, by spreading these costs, cramming these animals in, buying the cheapest feed that they can, and then finding places to distribute waste, where oftentimes regulators are looking the other way and really harming communities. That's the economic model that the CAFO is based on.
As a community, how vigorously are owners and operators of these CAFOs resisting change? Dan Imhoff?
Oh, they're resisting it at every level, from the communities that they identify to concentrate their agriculture to increasing attempts at the state level to make it illegal for someone to report and publish photos and document actual criminal animal abuse in these facilities with so-called ag gag laws or whistleblower intimidation laws.
Maynard Beery, tell us about your operation. You obviously are not an operator of a CAFO. Tell us how you go about farming.
My operation is a relatively small, all grass-fed beef operation. It consists of about 100 animals, and these animals are outdoors 24/7, 365. They're rotated amongst pastures during the green season, during the winter season, such as now, why they are supplemented with dry feed, hay, that kind of thing.
How much do you know about CAFO operations here in Michigan then, Maynard?
Actually, I think a fair amount. I've worked with CAFOs in terms of my other businesses. I've visited operations. I can remember a tour that we did in a hog CAFO, and I am familiar with the dairy CAFOs, so I have a familiarity with how they operate and what their needs are. They're essentially based on cheap fuel, cheap energy, and that's been the key to their, you know, success to this point.
How is it, Dan Imhoff, how is it taxpayers subsidize CAFOs, and by how much do they do that?
Well, we have the U.S. Department of Agriculture is given its marching orders and its budget through the Farm Bill, and the Farm Bill is passed every 5 to 7 years. And a great deal of the commodity agriculture support that can be anywhere from, you know, $15 billion per year goes just to support farmers who are growing feed, corn, soybeans, cottonseed that heavily go into the livestock industry. But the Farm Bill also authorized conservation programs, and a very high percentage of a certain program called EQIP, Environmental Quality Incentive Program, goes to help CAFO operators with their manure storage and transportation costs, as well as the hard costs of farmers that grow feed to set up permanent irrigation systems. So taxpayers fund, and that's just at the federal level. There are all kinds of state programs and federal and local tax breaks that really support the CAFO industry.
Maynard Beery, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I would concur with that. In other words, relatively in terms of dollars going to the small farm, the program is based on resource impact. And when you have 5 or 10 million gallons of animal waste in a lagoon, obviously your environmental impact is considerably greater than a herd of 50 or 100 cows that are out spreading the manure across the green pastures that they're
okay.
in consuming. Okay,
all
so
right.
it's hard for me to show a resource impact. Okay, well, yeah, I got to keep the cows out of the drain, but
okay.
Beyond that, some fencing. That's relatively cheap.
We've got to leave it there. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry to say, Maynard Beery of Beery Farms in Mason, farmer Daniel Imhoff, author of the book Food Fight. They're part of a panel discussion tonight at Michigan State University on CAFOs.